Today on The Journey, from Steve DeWitt.
Pray and say, Father, I have your love, but Lord, I want more. I want it to be multiplied in my life. Lord, I have peace with you. I recognize that. But I want that peace to be multiplied. I want that. Pray for it. Ask God for it. He's a God of multiplication, and he will add it to you.
Can we have enough of God's love? Today on The Journey, Pastor Steve DeWitt explains that although Christians are already perfectly loved by God, we need His love to multiply in our lives. We're exploring the difference between God's perfect love and our imperfect experience of it, with a lesson in Jude titled, Multiplication Signs. You can also access this message and others from our current series, Little Letters for Big Faith, by visiting us online at thejourney.fm. Now let's get started. Here's Pastor Steve DeWitt.
All right, this morning we were powerfully reminded from the book of Jude, one of the most precious truths in all of Christian doctrine. And it's a truth that God's people should never get tired of hearing and should never grow weary of talking about, and that is that our God loves us. And I said this morning, each of the things that we are going to see in the text this morning is worthy of celebration, and that is certainly true, that God has called us in the past and that he had a prior love for us in which he chose us by his sovereign goodness and he placed his love upon us, and that he presently right now loves us in such a way that Jude 1 can say that we are loved in God the Father. And we talked about how weird that is to hear language like that. Does your mama love you? Yes, I'm loved by my mama. Are you loved in your mama? What does that mean? We talked about that this morning, that we are loved in God in the sense that he has so loved us that his love surrounds us and that we live our lives now experiencing the love of God in such a way that we cannot run from it as if we would want to. We cannot get away from it. It is always there, and it's a present love. And that also, Jude 1 went on to say, that there is a future love, that we are kept by Jesus Christ, by his power, in such a way that we can know that this love will never leave us. In Romans 8, Paul gushes out, I am convinced that neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation can separate us from the love of Christ, the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord, Romans 8. And we talked about how wonderful that is, that God would love us in this way, from Jude 1. In fact, turn to Jude 1, if you would, with me. Let me just read what we saw this morning, and we're going to move on to Jude 2. Jude 1 says this, Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and a brother of James, to those who have been called, who are loved by God the Father and kept by Jesus Christ. We also this morning were struck by the humility of Jude, and we saw that the guy that wrote this book that we're going to be studying in the month of January is the same guy who was himself a brother of Jesus, a half-brother of Jesus. But he doesn't mention it in the verse, in the first verse, which if I was writing a book, okay, I would just tend to drop the name, you know? And if you know me, I sometimes do that. I'll drop a name. I would drop the name, oh, and by the way, brother of James, Jude, and brother of Jesus. And you probably would too. That'd be quite a title to have, but Jude doesn't do that. In fact, he calls himself a bondslave of Jesus. Now, I have to believe that those of you that have brothers, if you're a male, or those of you that have sisters, if you're a female, have experienced sibling rivalry. And you know that it's not very often that you would ever introduce yourself as the brother of your brother. You might say, you might, you know, he's lucky to have me as his brother, but to identify yourself as his brother is not very likely. And yet he does that, brother of James. And so we're struck with the fact that Jude is a man who has been overwhelmed with the love of God in such a way that he shows us humility. An interesting thing I didn't bring up this morning is that if you read James 1:1, okay, the James that we find here in Jude 1, who was also the brother of Jesus, if you read James 1:1, you know what James says? Bondslave of Jesus. His brother. James also does not say that he was the brother of our Lord Jesus Christ. So these verses should generate within us the same sort of humility, the same sort of recognition of the greatness of God's love, and the same recognition that we are at best bond slaves of Jesus Christ. So that's a wonderful model for us. Now tonight, what we're going to do is we're going to study verse 2. And there's only a couple books that you can say that. 3 John 2, 2 John 2, Philemon 2, and Jude 2. And it's very short, and we're going to milk it for all we can tonight. Jude 2 says this, mercy, peace, and love be yours in abundance. Now let's talk about this verse as a greeting, because in reality that's what it is. It is a greeting. If you read the New Testament, you will find that these greetings are very common. Most of the letters will begin with some kind of a salutation where the author identifies himself, says a little bit about himself, gives some kind of blessing or something, and then moves on in his letter. And that's exactly what Jude does. In fact, here's some examples of some of the salutations that we find in the New Testament. To Timothy, my true son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. To Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father. Very similar. 1 Peter 1, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge, etc. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. 2 John 3, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father. The point is that in that day, this was a common salutation. We might say, blessings to you, or greetings to you, or we hope the letter finds you doing well. We say something like that. In that day, they said this sort of thing. It was a common salutation, mercy, peace, and love. The interesting thing about Jude is that nowhere else in the New Testament do we find these words, this exact order of words, only in the book of Jude. But it's a greeting, okay? It's a greeting. Much like, and as I said this morning, when we do our letters today, what do? We typically put our name at the end of the letter, right? And sometimes if you get a long letter that's handwritten and you don't identify the handwriting, what do? You shuffle to the last page to find out who wrote the letter. And that day, they put their name first. And that's what Jude does and goes on then with this greeting. And so we're going to just milk this greeting for all we can tonight. Okay? Jude 2. Only a couple words. We're going to try to get everything we can out of it. And so let's begin by talking about the meaning of the words. Okay? Word number one that you find there is mercy. Let me give you a definition of mercy. I'm quoting a man in doing this. The characteristic of mercy is rooted in God and experienced in relation to God, from whom it may be acquired as a Christian virtue and exercised in relation to fellow human beings. And that's kind of a heady definition for mercy, but it's basically what you already know about mercy, and that is that it's an attribute of God, and we experience it in relationship to God. When we talk about mercy, we have to think about the goodness of God to those who are in misery and distress. Let me say that again. Misery, mercy, mercy, misery, that's a good connection. Mercy is God's goodness to those in misery or those that are in distress. It's very similar to the grace of God, with the exception that the grace of God speaks more to God's goodness to those that don't deserve it. That's grace. Mercy speaks to those that are in desperate need, help, giving help in desperate need. Much like this. If I was driving down Highway 30, and you know I get many illustrations from Highway 30, because there's a lot to be learned about the depravity of man on Highway 30. If I was driving down Highway 30 like I do every single day for another week and a half, and then no more Highway 30, which I'm glad for. But if I was driving down Highway 30 and I was driving down the road and I saw that there was a car that was broken down, and I saw ahead of the car a man with a gas can in his hand, obviously walking to the closest gas station. If I was to stop, I would be doing something that I didn't necessarily have to do. I could zoom by, like undoubtedly all of the heathens from Valparaiso who were driving to Merrillville would do. I could do that. In fact, I don't have any obligation whatsoever to stop and to help that guy on Highway 30. If I did stop and help him, it would be an act of grace to him, giving him what he did not deserve. But if I'm driving down Highway 30, and it's one of these region snowstorms, and it's 30 miles an hour wind chill outside, and there's nobody else on the road because no one else dared go out there, and I'm driving down the road, and I see a car off the side of the road, and I see this mother of three in a dress trying to push the car out of the ditch with her four-year-old at the wheel, okay? I would not have to stop. I wouldn't. But as I look at a situation like that, grace is the stopping to help somebody who doesn't deserve it. Mercy is the compassion that moves the heart in seeing the distress that the person is in. That's mercy. And when we talk about mercy with God, God's grace gives us what we don't deserve. It is the mercy of God that sees us in our helpless condition, and his heart is moved to action to extend his hand and to help us. That's his mercy. It's different than grace, slightly, because we are in trouble. In fact, you cannot understand the mercy of God until you recognize how lost we are. Or if we're a Christian, how lost we were. Do you recognize, friends, that there is nobody that is here that is saved because of any goodness in us, because of any earned righteousness, not because God in any way looked down upon us and thought, oh, aren't they cute? Don't they sort of just, they're cute little human beings down there, and I think I'm going to help them. Not at all. We didn't deserve it. We didn't earn it in any way. We were lost. There was no way that we could earn our salvation. We were apart from God. We were under his wrath. And yet God, because of his mercy, extended his hand through his son, Jesus Christ, to save us. So to understand mercy, you've got to understand lostness and sinfulness and our lost condition before the Lord. Do you remember what the two blind men cried out to Jesus? Remember? Jesus is walking down the road and he's got his entourage there and they're all following him because Jesus, wherever Jesus went, people went. And there he's walking down the road and two blind men hear, hey, it's Jesus of Nazareth. He's passing by. And they had heard about this Jesus of Nazareth because he was the guy that healed people who had blindness just like them. And they cried out. Do you remember what they said? Have grace on us. No. What do they say? Have mercy on us. Why? Because when you're blind, you need mercy. It spoke to their distress. And so, as Jude here is writing, he says, first of all, mercy. Mercy to you. Now, he's praying a prayer here. This is a prayer not to the recipients of the letter. It's a prayer to God that may mercy go to you. Okay, so that's the first word. We're defining the words. First word is mercy, speaking to our distress. Our lostness. Second word that we find is peace. Okay, peace. A quick and easy definition of peace is the restoration of broken relationships. Right now, we would love to see peace in Chechnya. We would. We'd love to see peace there. We would love to see peace in Northern Ireland. We would love to see peace in the Middle East. We would love to see peace in Gary, Indiana. There are homes in our church that I would love to see peace in. And there are hearts, maybe even here tonight, that are in desperate need of peace. We all want peace. It's one of the cries of the human heart, and it speaks again to our lost condition. But peace is the restoration of broken relationships. And in relationship to God, we are in desperate need of peace. And I'd like to show you why. Romans chapter 1, the wrath of God is being revealed. I'll just give you all of these here. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all of the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Okay? Makes it very clear. We are under the wrath of God. We are in need of peace with God. We have broken relationships with God because of our sin. The most famous sermon ever preached in America was Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. And what so moved that church so that people walked out of the door and were crying out lest the earth would, actually, they were afraid the earth was going to open up and swallow them. That's true. The reason they were moved to that was that they had an overwhelming sense of the wrath of God against their sin. And Jonathan Edwards painted a picture in which we are spiders dangling over the flames of hell, which are licking quickly at our feet, he says. Okay. A sense of the wrath of God. Now, the wrath of God is not a popular topic today. People don't like to talk about it, and we certainly don't like to think about it. But we are under the wrath of God for our sin. And there is coming a day when that wrath will be poured out upon sinners because of their sin. And it will be a dreadful day when that happens. So to understand peace, you have to understand why we are in need of peace with God. And the reason that we are in need of peace with God is that we have sinned against Him and the relationship has been broken. And the wonderful news of the gospel, therefore, is that God has provided a peace treaty. And in order to have peace with God, you've got to sign the peace treaty yourself. And that peace treaty, He provided through His Son, Jesus. And many of you know this already, but this is what the text is saying. So I'm going to tell you what it's saying is this, that we have now peace with God. Since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so the way that we can have, again, relationship with God, Christians, you know this, is that we by faith believe in Jesus, who satisfies the anger of God and the wrath of God towards us. And we therefore are restored in our relationship to Him. It is an objective peace. It is a justification by God, all forgiven. I remember in my early days as a pastor in Indianapolis, I went with Kimber to Methodist Hospital in Indianapolis, and we went to see a man that was dying of AIDS. And I was not allowed to go into the room with him, but he went in, and he was there a while, and he came out, and I said, I was very interested in what this discussion was like with a man who was dying of AIDS. What do you say? How do you talk to him? So I said, Kimber, how did it go? What happened? And he said, and this was a guy that had grown up in the church, but had never really embraced Christianity. And he was laying there and he was about to die and he wanted peace. That's what Kim told me. He says he wanted to have peace. And I said to him, well, what did you say? And Kim says, I told him you have to have objective peace before you have subjective peace. And I'll never forget that. It was very profound to me. Think of that. There must be objective peace with God before true subjective soul resting peace can come. And that man dying of AIDS in the hospital wanted to know that there was peace. And ultimately, as I understand, he rejected that because he didn't want to place his faith in Jesus Christ. But that's true. In order to have peace with God, you have to have objective peace. And we all here, we all want to have that soul resting in our hearts. When we lay in bed at night, we want to know that as we lay in bed and we consider God and we think about eternity, or we go to the funeral of the loved one or the friend and we stand there, we want to know that for us, that there is peace, and we want to experience that peace in our life. And the way that that comes to us is, first of all, through an objective peace with God by faith in Jesus Christ. which is the point of Romans 5:1, okay? That God has provided that peace for us. Now, why would Jude include this in this salutation? And the answer is not only that it was a standard hello, but also because the church that he is writing to had anything but peace. And we're going to find this out in the coming weeks. But let me give you just a little preview, okay? You want to know the kind of problems that were going on here? Look back to Jude now and look at what we're going to see next week. We'll study this next week. Look at verse 4. For certain men whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped in among you. They are godless men who change the grace of God into a license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord. There were leadership within the church that were teaching things like this. We'll talk about it next week. I don't want to ruin it, okay? But there were problems in the leadership there. These same men, notice it says in verse 16, they are grumblers and fault finders. They follow their own evil desires. They boast about themselves and they flatter others for their own advantage. Okay? So these guys were wreaking havoc in the church. So there was no peace there. They were in need of peace. And so Jude says, I pray that peace comes to you. A very appropriate thing for him to include in this. All right, now let's move on to the third one that we find. And the third word is love. We talked about love at great length this morning, so we're not going to spend as much time on this tonight. But I do want to note the connection that you see between verse 1 and verse 2. Notice what he says in verse 1. He says, to those who have been called, who are loved by God the Father. Now, is that a perfect love that God has for us? And the answer is yes. Good. Then why on earth would Jude pray for love to come to them in the greeting? If they already have perfect love, why would they be in need of anything else? We don't pray for what we already have. If he says in verse 1 that the love that they have is a perfect love, that they are loved in God the Father, why on earth would he go on in the next verse and say, may you love them more? Why would he say that? And the answer to it is that is the rest of the verse. Look at what the rest of the verse says. Mercy, peace, and love be yours in abundance.
A message from Pastor Steve DeWitt. You're listening to The Journey and the start of a message titled Multiplication Signs. If you tuned in late today or you'd like to hear this message again, you'll find it online at thejourney.fm. You can also listen by subscribing to The Journey podcast. Just search your favorite podcast app for The Journey with Pastor Steve DeWitt. Well, here at The Journey, our mission is to proclaim the uncompromising gospel of Jesus Christ and equip believers to walk in truth. Through our daily broadcasts, like our current series, Little Letters for Big Faith, we're committed to faithfully teaching God's Word so that lives are transformed, faith is strengthened, and the hope of Christ reaches those who need it most. As Pastor Steve DeWitt explores the profound messages in the Bible's shortest books, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and Jude, we're discovering timeless truths about love, discernment, and faithfulness. These letters teach us to walk in truth while guarding against false teaching, to practice genuine hospitality while maintaining doctrinal purity, and to contend earnestly for the faith while showing compassion to others. Together, these brief but powerful letters show us how to navigate challenges within the church while remaining steadfast in our devotion to Christ and one another. And as we continue through this series here on The Journey, we invite you to stay connected with us by visiting us online at thejourney.fm. There you'll find additional resources, inspiration, and updates about our ministry. And while you're there, be sure to sign up for our newsletter at the bottom of our homepage. It only takes a moment, and it's the best way to stay informed about all that's happening with Pastor Steve DeWitt and The Journey. I'm Tim Svoboda. Come back tomorrow when Pastor Steve continues unpacking Jude's powerful prayer for spiritual growth. Discover how God designed his mercy, peace, and love to compound in believers' hearts, and learn to break free from spiritual stagnation. That's Wednesday on The Journey with Steve DeWitt. Today's program was produced and furnished by Bethel Church in Crown Point, Indiana.